Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to see what you're doing and who you're hanging with, and you're not posting about it on your story. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages and keep it between friends, and then use that money to buy something at a store with Apple Pay.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Maybe.
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stefan Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
I'm so excited. And in honor of the recent solar eclipse, we're using this as an excuse, yes, which we really haven't even acknowledged until now. We thought we would come back to our long overdue look at the life-changing classics from the Twilight Saga, specifically New Moon and Eclipse, because they are owed their due. And the only way we can do this right is to have our expert, besides, of course, myself, on all things Twilight, coming on with us, super producer Christina. Yeah.
Yes. Hello, everybody. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
First of all, after we did Twilight, we got an immediate email from Christina going, This was my favorite. I have so many things, including t-shirts, which we have seen a few. You did?
Yeah.
You did show us a few. Just now, we got to see two figurines of Edward / Robert Pattinson. And I feel like This needs to be on social media, Christina.
I know. It's what I have in Atlanta. So I'm not from Atlanta. And when I moved here, I only brought the essentials. So the essentials were my two Edward Cullen toys. But I
figurines.
I had a whole... Figurines, action figures, you could
action
say.
Figures.
But yes. I had so many shirts, magazines. I think it was a little obsessive, like almost in a bad way, but I collected stuff and it was fun. So
it's fun. That's exactly correct. That's fun. We're so glad you are able to be a part of our Sminty Twilight adventures, because we have a few more coming up. I still think we need to do the gender swapping book, which I sent to you, Christina, as like, Eventually I need you to read this and tell us about it, please. And you're welcome, Annie. You're welcome for this adventure.
It's like you read it and
tell us.
Yeah,
I don't want to read it.
because
I did the flip of Edward perspective of the initial Twilight. So I don't know if I'm ready for the gender swap. Like, that was an adventure in itself.
All these years later.
Yeah,
sure.
I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'll ever be ready for that, because coming back into it, as much as I loved it, because it was so entertaining, it was so good, and I was a fan, but looking back on it, I'm like, oh God, this writing is so bad. But such a classic. Anyway, and yes, we are going to jump right in. Just to kind of at the beginning of all of this, of course, I have a feeling we have a few, we do, don't we? And I think we've heard from a few listeners who were Twilight Hearts, Twihearts, right. Okay, I was like, there's a name. I think I remember Twihearts out there who may want to jump in and be like, you missed this part. You should have talked about this part, or here's some behind the scenes. And yes, once upon a time, I remember watching some behind the scenes and even the director's cut where they all talk, the two where Kristen and Robert Pattinson get on there and have a whole like conversation about the movie. I watched all those as well, but I've forgotten all the good facts. Christina, I hope you remember all the good facts.
My memory's not the best, but right. I did follow a lot of Twilight websites back in the day, and I was an avid visitor of Twilight fan websites, and I used to save every photo I found of Robert Pattinson. I just would save it in a folder just for later. I don't know.
Just for later.
I wish I had photos of my old childhood bedroom absolutely covered in Twilight posters, especially the ones you would get from magazines.
Yes.
They were on my ceiling. They were on all sides of the walls. I was enamored with him. I still am.
Who wasn't?
Yeah.
It was Edward.
Honestly.
Who wasn't? And yes, before we go into it, there was a lot of controversy with the movie that I'm about to talk about, New Moon, because there was some big directional changes and people were pissed. People were not happy about some of the changes, including Catherine Hardwick being taken off and having a man, Chris Weitz, come in and take over. There was this conversation about what will this look like, who will take over, how, because the aesthetic was that Catherine had kind of developed this world in creating the cast. Like, she created this cast and this chemistry, and everybody was like, oh, no, don't do this. There was talks about the fact that Taylor Lautner was going to be replaced because he was not big enough, like the buff enough, as we will say.
I remember that, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Because he was too small at the beginning and didn't seem to fit. So he had to re-audition after, like, pumping up, essentially, like, getting really built and going on this intensive diet to show that he could be this character once again to come back. And I think Kristen Stewart also, like, rallied for him because they were apparently friends. That could have just been, you know. There was a conversation about who was going to be a part of the Quileute / the Wolf pack. And there was a lot of conversation. And they did hold true to making sure that they used Indigenous people as part of this role. So at the very least, they listened that far into it. I can't remember any of the... Oh, yeah, the bad wigs. I think Eclipse finally figured out how bad the wigs were. They're like, you're a multi-million dollar movie. Why are these wigs so bad? Mm-hmm. So bad. poor Nikki Reed. She'd been through some things, and they finally got her a wig, and that wig was still awful, and you're like, why? Just why? Uh-huh. Why would you do this to Alice? Why? Anyway, all those things. That's some of the controversy.
You know how many people based their haircuts off of Alice, too, back in the day when the movie came out?
It was so bad.
I wish it was me. I'm surprised I didn't, but Alice haircut. Big deal.
Such a big deal. It was. And it got better, thank God, as along the way. But yes, since we've gone through that controversy, let's jump in. I'm going to do a quick plot of New Moon for you. So let's start. We have the opening scene in which we have Bella having this awful dream about, awful I say, that she's thinking she's seen her grandmother in the meadows where she meets up with Edward to see his glistening, sparkling skin. And it turns out that it's actually her as an old person aging while Edward never ages, and him telling her happy birthday. A really awkward scene, fun awkward scene that happens. And she wakes up to this nightmare with Charlie saying, happy birthday! Getting her presents and then saying, I see grays. Dad jokes. But yes, Bella and Edward are still in high school. But now we've come upon Bella's 18th birthday, which means she's officially technically older than her love, Edward, and she's having a panic attack. She does not like this. Then with that comes the bad birthday party because, you know, Alice loves some partying, gets her address, says, come on over. It's just going to be us. We're going to get you some presents. And oh, no, poor little clumsy Bella gets a paper cut, makes Jasper try to lunge at her to eat her, obviously. And this whole thing happens. And oh, no, Edward's in turmoil. Everybody's so upset, except for the father figure, Carlisle, who for years have just understood to withstand the temptation of blood. He's become a doctor. We know this. So he stitches her up and tells her, I've done this because, you know, I owe humanity. That's his explanation. But all of this leads to Edward having a crisis, thinking we need to leave because we're putting her in danger. So he tells Bella he doesn't want her anymore. And she's like, oh, no, what? Okay. And he does this all in the woods, which is really, like, to me, I'm like, you know she's really clumsy. You know she gets lost. Why would you do this and then leave her in the woods?
Did you want her to immediately die? Yeah.
I was like, what? Anyway, so she's very clumsy and emotional, and she is in the woods at this point and just goes into a fetal position after she's trying to chase after him, and it gets dark and it's cold. And then eventually she's found by Sam, who is a new character. Well, not new, new-ish character. We've met him before, but he's been recast because the previous Sam was not buff enough. And I'm going to say buff a lot. Then this entire time, so they recast him. But he rescues her, takes her back, and we are introduced to the new rugged, shirtless crew of Forks Washington, of the Quileute people. Bella, at this time, is wrestling in her torment and depression, screaming in the night, real harsh screams, soon finds comfort in her best friend, Jacob, who has, as she puts it, become, again, buff. I'm going to use this because it was used, and I just think it's a hilarious term. And then, of course, jokes about steroids, because you know why not. Also, we have the iconic line, Bella, where have you been, Loca?
That is, I wrote that down in my notes while I was watching it. Where the hell you been, Loca?
Where the hell you been, Loca?
That's like, I think Joey, our friend of the show, Joey, has that shirt.
Do they?
I think their shirt says that quote on it.
They just started watching it, right? This has been recent for them because they are
recentish.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think the last time we talked about Twilight during a staff meeting, we absolutely talked about Twilight. So, but I believe they were like, yeah, I just watched that not too long ago. And I was like, we were like, what? Because it's making a comeback, as it should. as it should. But anyways, yes, that iconic line. But soon finds when she puts herself in danger, she can see visions of Edward, who is absent. And by the way, another part of the controversy of this movie was, how are you going to do this without Robert Pattinson? Because he is absent through the majority of this movie. So everybody was really up in arms about what they're going to do. And then they were like, we fixed it. Bad CGI of Edward. When she puts herself in danger. Cue her adventures in motorcycles and roaming in the woods alone. And by the way, during this time, the town soon has a rise of accidents and tales of large bears or creatures all around, which she soon encounters a large pack of wolves who attack the vampire Laurent. If you remember, he was that crew, oh no, from the previous Twilight. But he came back threatening to eat Bella because Victoria, she's been looking for him and Laurent's been helping. But with that, he gets attacked by the wolves and, dismembered. And she runs home back to tell her father about it. And she figured out what these things were. They're giant wolves. Again, best CGI. Then while she's hanging out with Jacob, including they go to the movies together, he leaves due to not feeling well after a really intense but really badly acted argument with friend Mike, who was with him at the time. He disappears for a while, telling Bella he doesn't feel well, and then soon tells her he can't hang out with her anymore. And he comes up with his fresh haircut, and now he's shirtless. And everybody's like, why is he shirtless? Oh, my gosh. She finds out that he's been hanging around Sam and the crew, who he previously didn't really like. And he was all like, they're a gang, and they're doing some weird stuff. I don't want to hang out with them, and they keep trying to recruit me. And he finally got recruited. But alas, she soon discovers he is a shape-shifting werewolf. I guess the wolf is out of the bag, says one of the other wolves. who was created to protect the land and the Quileute people. And there's a treaty between the Quileutes, werewolves, and the vampires. So on all of this, we have Victoria, who has been the one that's been causing the chaos and all the deaths, who's on the hunt for her now. And that's why so many wolves are popping up. With her discovery, with all of this, Bella is now able to fully hang out with Jacob again and the entire wolf posse. We also learned a little bit about imprinting. Not really. We don't know because we have the two, Sam and Emily, who is Sam's mate. And they're all happy, whatever, whatnot. a little family, as they will. So they're able to hang out again. Great. But during this time, they are still hunting Victoria, who is all around about. And at one point, one of the members, pretty big members of the Quileute family, is murdered by her. And during the same time, because, you know, chaos is great, Bella decides she would try cliff jumping with no experience whatsoever in the middle of the winter. Why not? Which almost kills her, but she's rescued by Jacob. Yay. However, and we do see a little popping head of, like, Victoria because she had caught her scent and was trying to go after her, blah, blah, blah. However, this starts a whole chain of events where Alice thinks that Bella has died and comes back to check up on her, in which Edward hears about it from Rosalie because Rosalie's messy as hell, about what Alice had seen and calls. And through a misunderstanding, Edward thinks that she is dead because Jacob's like, no, he's at the hospital, essentially. Enter the Volturi, and we're now introduced to a whole new gang of bad with the ruling vampires who live in Italy and have been around for a while. Edward goes to ask for them to kill him, and all these things happen. He tries to show himself in the sun during a very big festival, Volturi festival in Italy, to show himself and to like expose the vampire. But he gets saved by Bella, who does a very big launch and spider monkey jump. Yep, I'm referring to that. Onto him. And saves him from that. But then we all get to meet the Volturi, who are big bad people. They barely escaped death. At this point, they're talking about killing Bella. And they're like, no, don't do it. And there's a small like battle that happens, very quick, crunchy battle. All of these are very crunchy. Which all stops because Alice says she's going to turn. I've seen the visions, and she shows him a vision because, like, the head Volturi can read thoughts as long as he's touching them. And he sees a very bad scene of Edward and Bella whimsically running through the forest in very, like, old school clothing. I didn't know. It's like, this feels very Mormon-esque. Ideal, romantic ideal, I feel like. And so he lets them go and he's very excited. So they go back home and we have the ending of the movie, which the family vote on whether or not to have Bella turn into a vampire. And all of them, except for Rosalie and Edward, vote yes because they love her. You're already part of the family. Hell yeah, come on, was the reactions. But Edward only concedes if Bella agrees to marry him. Insane. Anything to add, you two, that I missed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I need to add the soundtrack for this movie, New Moon.
Really?
I think is my favorite out of all the Twilight movies. It is amazing. I mean, Stephanie Meyer, I think, had a big, say in what... Yes. She chose really good bands, and they made a lot of original songs for, I think, all the movies. But this soundtrack... I think stuck with me the most. There's so many good songs. So good. So sad. Yeah. That's one of my favorite things about New Moon. As a Edward, Team Edward, you know, it was hard for me back in the day to watch this movie. So soundtrack, I loved.
That had feels, and it's still popular today. Like a lot of the songs that we hear is still popular today. Just saw a TikTok. I've been sending Christina and Annie a lot of TikToks about it. And like, it's them coming back together. The cast members coming back together, except for Kristen, Robert, and Anna Kendrick. Those three are like, nah, we're good. Because they're the more famous of the, like, more successful of the branch, I think.
Sure.
And they're like, nah, y'all have fun. But they're coming together. This episode is brought to you by Snagajob. Snagajob is where America goes to hire with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring.
With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time, or full-time.
You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer... Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that.
With their easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way.
Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly.
Visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242-424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. Celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women. Creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. Obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Okay, so that was New Moon. And because, Christina, you are the other aficionado, we of course need your take on Eclipse, where Robert Pattinson is back.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. So bear with me. I tried to reduce it as much as I can, but okay. I'm going to be yapping. Okay. All right. Yes. Marriage is on the table. It's a huge point. Opening the movie, we see a vampire attack a human. We don't know why. We don't know who it is, but we see that he's being changed. So he will be a vampire. And then next, jump to the famous meadow where Edward is with Bella. They are talking about marriage. He says it's a compromise. If they get married, he will change her into a vampire. Okay, jump to we see Bella's dad, Charlie, asking Bella to check in on Jacob, who is not doing well per the last movie. Clearly, he is not doing okay. And Edward does not like this. He does not trust Jacob. And also, we find out that Alice sees something bad approaching, but it is not revealed, and they're being secretive about this towards Bella. They do not want to scare Bella. Bella then visits her mom in Florida with Edward, which I wish we could have seen more of, because Florida is so sunny and Edward was there. But we do see a pretty cool moment where Edward is inside while Bella and her mom have a mother-daughter moment. Her mom is worried about her choices and whether or not they are her own. Bella also receives a sentimental gift from the mom, and she is realizing the weight of her choices in becoming a vampire and how she won't be able to see her anymore once she is changed. And now, jump to, we see Victoria from the last movie. She is back, and she is running through the woods. Wolves and vampires are chasing her, but there is a treaty line. They are not allowed to cross that line. However, Emmett Cullen jumps over the line and tussles with Paul, who is a wolf. This is a big no-no. The next day, in the high school parking lot, Jake shows up and he threatens Edward, sort of. He says that Emmett crossed their line and that is not okay. Bella is confused because she has no idea what's going on, like I said, and she had no idea that Victoria was back. Bella's mad. She jumps on the bike and goes on a ride with Jake. Next, we see the wolf pack again. We meet a new woman named Leah. Leah is Harry's daughter, the guy who died in the last movie from a heart attack that was caused by Victoria. When she lifted him in the air, he died from that. Leah does not like Bella. Jacob explains Leah's situation. Turns out Leah was in a relationship with another pack member, but it had to end because that pack member imprinted on a different woman. And this is where we learn about imprinting. Bella asks Jake if he has imprinted, and he says, you'd know if I did. So it's left unclear / ambiguous on purpose. And then Jake also finds out that Bella plans to become a vampire, and that upsets him a lot, and he says some hurtful stuff to her. Cut to the guy from earlier, the guy who was getting attacked by a vampire. His name is Riley. He is now a newborn vampire, and he is snooping around Bella's house, and he's getting her scent. Shortly after, Edward comes over and he smells that a vampire has been there. He does not know why, and Alice cannot confirm either, but it is troublesome. This causes the vampires and wolves to talk and worked together to protect Bella, taking shifts, basically. Next, we see Bella attend a council meeting with the wolves, which is a big deal because they don't let outsiders in to learn about their history or anything like that. Here, she learns about the history of their magical powers. We learn that their powers kick in when there's vampires nearby. We also learn about long ago, there was a tribe that was under attack by a vampire who was seeking revenge for her partner that was killed by one of the wolves. We learn about a woman who cut herself so that the vampire attacking their tribe would be distracted long enough to be defeated. And I think this is important to remember, foreshadowing. Next, we see a bunch of newborn vampires in Seattle, and it's causing a statewide, area-wide panic of serial killings, disappearances in the area, and they're garnering way too much attention. And the working theory at this point is that the Volturi is behind it in order to get the Cullen family killed, besides Alice and Edward, because they want them to join them. Alice and Edward have very good powers, the future telling and mind reading, very powerful. But that's just the working theory. Next scene, we see Jake and Bella hanging out. Jake is not taking no for an answer when it comes to her love for him, and he forces a kiss on her, and she punches him in the face. But werewolves are very strong. He doesn't even flinch or react, but she does hurt her hand. And this causes Edward to be super angry at Jacob next time they meet up. But of all people, Charlie breaks up their altercation. All right, cut to the Cullens' house. Carlisle, the doctor of the family, is bandaging Bella, and she says she hurt it by punching a werewolf. Emmett, the brother, loves this, and he says, basically, oh, wait till you're a newborn, because she'll be so much stronger. And this visibly triggers Rosalie, who walks out of the room. And then cut to Bella and Rosalie talking, just to see why she was upset. And we get to see Rosalie's backstory, which is very sad. And we learn that she's resentful of her life as a vampire, mostly because she wants that idealistic husband, family, etc. And we see a flashback of her in her human form long ago with her fiancé. And then another scene where she's walking in the street and her fiancé is drunk with his friends. And he assaults her in front of them and presumably is assaulted by all of them and left for dead in the street. And this is where Carlisle finds her and changes her in order to save her life. That's sort of his whole thing. But there is a cool scene where you get to see Rosalie seek revenge, and she kills all the men that assaulted her, which is cool. And then she's also in a wedding dress the night that she kills her fiancé. So I like that for her. But I think the whole emphasis on this is that she does not want Bella to be a vampire still, as you could tell from the last movie, because she doesn't want to be one either. She wants a normal life, and she wants Bella to have a normal life. All right, back to the newborn situation happening in Seattle. They are still being reckless. However, it is confirmed that the Volturi are aware of this happening, and although they're supposed to be stopping it, they are not. They are allowing this to happen. All right, it's graduation time now. We could see Bella and the Cullens graduate. Alice throws a huge party, as she does. The whole school is there. Even Jake shows up with some fellow Wolfpack members. And he apologizes for forcing a kiss on her. He also gives her a bracelet with a wolf charm on it, which is sweet. Shortly after, Alice has a vision about these newborns. And they're all taking turns getting Bella sent from the blouse that Riley, the newborn leader, stole from her room. So it turns out the newborns are coming to Forks, especially to find Bella. This causes the Cullens and wolves to have a brief meeting at the party, and they decide to team up to fight the newborn army together. And then presumably the next day, they begin training for this battle with the newborn army. And Jasper Cullen, Edward's brother, is leading this training session. And this is where we learn about Jasper's backstory. It turns out he was a Confederate officer in the Civil War. However, he was changed by a woman named Maria, who manipulated him to do her bidding. So basically, he had to construct a newborn army way back when, when he was first changed, and that is why he's so versed in training for this upcoming newborn battle. After learning this, Bella has a dream that reveals to her that Maria and Jasper's story is very similar to Victoria and Riley's story. So this proves that Victoria is behind this newborn army, and she is still very vengeful for the death of her mate. So Bella convinces Edward to stay by her side while she hides out during the newborn battle that's coming up in a few days, as Alice has predicted. And then cut to a brief Charlie and Bella moment, very fun. Charlie tries to have the talk with her, and she hates it. And she also reveals that she's a virgin, which obviously Dad Charlie approves of and loves. So yeah, the newborn battle is approaching, and Bella and Edward have suddenly a night alone at the Cullen house. Edward gives her a bracelet for her other arm, clearly jealous of Jake's present that's on her arm, the wolf pendant. And then also there's a moment where Bella wants him to take her virginity, and Edward says no. Unsurprisingly, he's so old school and also afraid of hurting her because he's so strong. He wants marriage first, and he wants to save her soul. He talks about how back in his day he would have courted her very old school style, but he does officially propose to her with a ring, and she says yes. And then, brief cut to the newborn army once again. Riley's there, and he's being manipulated by Victoria, just as Bella predicted. All right, it's the day before the battle, the newborn battle. Jake has to carry Bella to a tent where she'll be hiding. This is in order to hide her scent. Her scent is hidden with his own wolf stink. We also find out that he's staying there for the night. And Edward will be there as well. So it's Edward, Jake, and Bella all staying in this tent the night before the battle. And it's freezing, and Edward cannot help her because, you know, vampires are cold-skinned. So reluctantly, Edward allows Jake to cuddle her to keep her warm, because wolves have warm bodies. Cut to an Edward and Jake moment, huge moment in the tent. Bella is asleep, we think. Jake and Edward are talking about Bella. Jake is insisting that Bella loves him and pleading for Edward not to change her. He says something along the lines of, "You have to consider that I might be better for her than you are." And I think Edward believes that too. But Edward is nice to Jake, though, and he admits that he would like him if he wasn't trying so much to get with Bella. And this moment to me was important because they're just showing each other humility and empathy, which you don't really see before. They've hated each other so much up until this moment, and there's just a good moment between them. I think Bella was listening too. That's why I don't think she was asleep. I think she was kind of like listening to them talk. Okay, it's the next night. It's the day of the battle. Before he leaves to fight, Jake finds out that Edward and Bella are getting married, and this makes him very upset. And also, Edward purposefully let him find that out. And Bella's super upset about it too, and she's worried that this will affect his performance in the newborn battle. And then we have a huge Bella and Jake moment. Finally, Bella gives permission for Jake to kiss her, unlike before where he forced it on her. And for me, I feel like that's just to make him feel better about the situation and to not let him not perform as bad as he maybe would have otherwise. But she does love him, it's obvious, and she kisses him back, and she's into it, and it's a moment. And Edward knew about it the whole time because he could read his thoughts, and he didn't really care. And Bella does, after, reassure him that Bella loves Edward more. So, team Edward. Okay, huge battle scene happening. Wolves and vampires are working together, which is a big deal, and they're killing this newborn army very easily looking. The head shattering is awesome to me.
Crunchy.
We also see a young newborn girl part of the army, but she's not participating, and she's watching from the sidelines, kind of scared. And we see her be approached by Carlisle and Esme. You know, Carlisle, he empathizes with people. He doesn't, you know, he wants to do what's good. All right, cut to the tent again, where Bella and Edward are still hiding. Turns out Riley and Victoria have picked up on Edward's scent, and they have located them. Edward tries to convince Riley that Victoria is manipulating him for her own revenge arc, but Riley does not care. However, a wolf, Seth, was hanging around the tent area and attacks Riley, who was about to lunge for Edward slash Bella. However, Victoria does try to run away, and Edward beckons her to stay and fight. This is her chance to get her revenge. Now cue the big Victoria and Edward fight, what we've all been waiting for. There comes a moment where things aren't looking good for Edward. However, Bella takes note from her history lesson with the council meeting. She cuts herself, like that woman in the tribe in the beginning of the movie, to distract the vampires because of her blood is so tasty. This lets Edward get the upper hand. And Riley is also taken down by the wolf finally. And Victoria obviously doesn't care because Victoria never cared about Riley. And then finally, Edward beheads Victoria, which was cool. After Edward and Bella finally leave the hideout and they go to the newborn battle area because we find out that Alice saw the Volturi approaching. So they get there and they witness a loose newborn that was still around. And it attacks Leah, the one female wolf from earlier that we met, which Jacob jumps in to help with. They're both in wolf form at this moment. And Jacob is badly, badly injured by this newborn. And he's rushed out of there before the Volturi arrive. It is important that the Volturi does not know about the pact with the wolves, because they are enemies. So the newborn battle is over now. No more newborns. At least the battle. So the Volturi arrive, as Alice predicted, and they act like they had nothing to do with this battle. They are impressed by the Cullens defeating it before they could get to it, even though they weren't planning to help anyways. And the Volturi do notice the newborn girl who I talked about earlier, who was on the sidelines, and Jane Volturi member, uses her power to cause pain to her, and Carlisle pleads to spare her. However, Volturi style, to assert their dominance and to be needlessly violent, they kill the newborn girl. And they also ask why Bella isn't a vampire yet. Because the last movie, they said she would be, but Bella says a date is set, and the Volturi leave. That night, at Wolf headquarters, Bella visits Jake, who is screaming in pain while Carlisle does doctor stuff on him. Jake comes to terms with Bella not choosing him, finally. However, Bella does admit that she does truly love him. And Jake says some good lines in this. He says, "It would be as easy as breathing with me, and I'll always be waiting." And he does say that he'd maybe still wait for her even if she was a vampire, which is a huge deal. Jake loves her still. Now, at the end of the movie, we're in the famous meadow once again. Bella and Edward are together, having a loving moment. They're talking about the date for the wedding and how Alice will plan everything. And in this moment, Bella has decided that this choice she's making for herself, and it's not all about Edward. And this is her come to terms moment, where she truly feels like this is her destiny to be a vampire. And she says something along the lines of, "This wasn't a choice between you and Jacob. It was a choice between who I should be and who I am." And Edward loves this answer. And he's happy it's not all about him, obviously, because he has so much guilt over her soul. And then there's a cute ending where she's like, "We have something very hard to do now." And that's to tell Charlie that they're getting married. And he puts the ring on her finger, and that's the end.
Nicely done. Do want to put in here, though, that we did have a bedroom scene, and it's as Mormon as you can get.
Yes.
In this level, in which, I get it. She's trying. She's like, "I feel like I'm trying to take away her virtue."
Mm-hmm. She's denied.
Because her negotiation was, "Okay, we can get married, but I want to have sex while I'm human."
That was important to her, yes. That's a good point to bring up. She wants to have human sex. And he's afraid of hurting her.
Yes.
Because he's so strong.
Most humanness. She says, "I want to do it, like, whatever." And he was like, "Not right now. I'll keep your clothes on. Stop trying to take off your clothes." Such a lie. And because that will come up as a thing for Breaking Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Annie, you're welcome.
Isn't that a thing in True Blood where, like, that one vampire didn't have sex
She was like a virgin, so every time she had sex,
yes,
as a vampire, it hurt.
Because it would heal.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So every time really was like works, her. Yeah. Yeah, that's not how this works, y'all. So every time, but like they break the hymen is the idea.
Right. That's not quite how that works.
That was the thing. But yeah, so here with this, as where like vampires are specifically sexualized in most renditions, here they are not. We have the wholesome. And honestly, when you break down, I think we've did this with, again, Twilight, when we talked about Twilight, his controlling behavior, and we know it's all to protect her, but you're like, bro, you're telling her she can't go hang out with people. You disabled her car, yes, so she could not go see somebody. Yeah. Like, you are right there saying like, oh, we're going to Florida, and then like manipulating her to tell her father that we're doing this. I was like, in reality, this is not a good relationship, y'all. But we'll come back to that.
Oh.
I did want to try something because I think it's something that we should do. And I've been going back and forth, listeners, because it's so cheesy. But you know how we love doing a good rendition or a read-through, especially of classics like this. So I thought we would do that with both New Moon and Eclipse. And I took out a few of the dialogues that had all three of the main characters, Jacob, Edward, and Bella, with some of the fun bits. But because I was like, I don't want to take this away from Christina, because Christina, really, she has been a loyal fan in this. So I think you need to assign who plays what. Because I was going to, at first I had it, and I was like, no. Because, like, I don't know, Christina, if you want to be Bella or if you want to be Edward, like, in the talk. Like, not in real life. I know you're not to that level. But, like, like playing these characters. Because I'm not going to lie. Here's a real honest, embarrassing confession. I would actually read these books out loud sometimes as the characters to see if I could do the lines justice. Because it sounded okay. So great that I'm like, I want to see if I can do this. And I could not. Just an FYI.
No, same embarrassing admission for me is that me and my cousins, when the first Twilight came out, we would reenact the scene in the woods where he's like, I'm a killer or whatever. And we filmed it on some,
yes.
Footage is
say
lost,
it.
But
wow.
I wanted to be Bella so bad. But for this, I will be Edward.
Oh, you would be Edward. Okay, well, you need to assign the rest, like, who am I and who is Annie?
Samantha, you are Jacob and Annie is Bella. This makes the most sense.
I love it. I think it does. I actually, that's exactly how I had casted it originally. Did I tell
you
this? This is why? Yes, this was in my head. I was like, this is who it was. But then I was like, I don't want to take that away from Christina because maybe she wants to be Bella in this line. So this is the scene in which Edward comes back from New Moon from the Volturis, and they run into Jacob. Okay, so ready. Scene. You stay the hell out of my head.
Jacob, I know you have something to say to me, but I'd like to say something to you, if that's all right. Thank you. Thank you for keeping Bella alive when I didn't.
No, you didn't. And it wasn't for your benefit, trust me.
I'm still grateful. But I'm here now. I'm not leaving her side until she orders me away.
Oh, we'll see. And it's my turn to talk. I'm here to remind you of a key point in the treaty.
I haven't forgotten.
What key point?
If any of them bites a human, the truce is over.
But if I choose, it has nothing to do with you.
No, I won't let you. You're not going to be one of them, Bella.
It's not up to you.
You know what we'll do to you. I won't have a choice. Bella, come please.
No. Is he going to hurt me? Read his mind.
Assures her.
End scene.
The awards come in.
And he did really good.
We're so going to get this. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we all did a cute, amazing job. Mm-hmm, and with that, do you want to stick with this? Because we're going to do a little bit of Eclipse after they discovered that some other vampire had been in Bella's house. And by the way, there's a scene in which Riley goes over to Charlie to sniff. And that is actually a part of the book. Like, there's this whole, like, moment of, like, you know, she's freaking out because she's thinking he was in danger. And he was, technically. Charlie, good old Charlie.
I love Charlie. My mom loved Charlie.
As you said, everybody loved Charlie. He was the, him and I want to say some of the Wolfpack and Emmett were the, like, comedic
relief
breaks
yeah.
in this scene. So are we keeping the same characters?
Yeah.
Christina?
Sure.
Okay. So here we go.
From Eclipse.
Here we go. Let's see. Whoever it was, he left his stink behind. It'll be hard to miss when we cross it again. We'll handle it from here.
We don't need you to handle anything or anyone.
I could care less what you need.
Okay, great. And we'll all work together. Come on, we've all got the same goals here, right? To catch the bad vampires.
Like there's a difference.
All right, we're done here.
No, you're done here.
Stop! Let go. I'm tired of this. From now on, I'm Switzerland, okay? I know you guys don't like each other, but we've got bigger problems. Lots of them. And this is just one temporary solution. If you'd be willing to try.
My favorite is the Switzerland line, and it just hit me out of nowhere when she said it.
It's so funny, and I think people were Team Switzerland. Like, it was Team Edward, Team Jacob, Team Switzerland. I forgot about Team Switzerland.
I forgot, because it's like, wait, what? Wait, what? Oh, y'all, thank you for going down this embarrassing road with us. Listeners, please feel free to never listen to that again, because you probably have secondhand embarrassment. This movie also had, again, we talked about the controversies, and we didn't talk about the fact that they brought in some really, like, A-list celebrities in this one, including Dakota Fanning, who actually was in talks at that point of her and Kristen Stewart doing Cherry Bomb, which was the movie based on The Runaways. So a lot of things, people were really excited, because you also had that, and then you had... what's his name from the Volturi Clan?
I thought that was okay, so I've never seen these, obviously. And by the way, listeners, if you're listening to this and you're like me, please go back and listen to the first one.
Yeah.
Because you might be really confused right now.
Oh, no one did that up front.
Yes. But there was this meme that I've seen for years and I've never known where it came from of the Volturi. And I was like, oh, that's where it's from.
Oh, but can I say something? I dressed as one of them for Halloween one year. I had red contacts and everything. In a cloak.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. So Michael Sheen coming in.
Yes, that was, yes.
As this, like, he, again, giant, of course, he also had come from Underworld.
Yeah.
Where he was a vampire, right? No, he was he a vampire or was he a werewolf? He was a werewolf. I believe
in
Underworld.
He was a werewolf.
Where he met his then wife. But, like, all these things, we also had Jamie Campbell Bauer, who, he's such a minor character as one of the Volturi, the main three, but he's actually also a minor character from Harry Potter, playing an older wizard that you only see in a flashback. But everybody was so excited for this crossover that was happening. They thought, like, this is so good. And each and every one of these movies were at least, like, making, I think New Moon was at number nine, the best-selling movie at number nine, like the most money of 2009 until... the Harry Potter franchise came out, and then that beat that one out. And then we had the same thing happen with Eclipse, which was like the seventh highest grossing movie. And then Harry Potter movie came out, and it knocked it out as well. But yeah, so we had all these like bigger actors being a part of these later franchises that everybody was freaking out about with the most minor roles until later. Like, Michael Sheen does play a bigger part. So does Dakota Fanning. Dakota Fanning really making, like, her character so menacing, even though she's the most adorable thing in the whole wide world, essentially. but, yeah, you had a lot of that. And then also, yes, the Bryce Dallas Howard coming in, taking over the character of Victoria from the original Victoria. And, like, the publicity with, like, it was pretty ugly because they're like, oh, she has scheduling conflict. And then it turned out she's like, what? No, I didn't.
I think I remember this.
What's happening?
Yeah.
Did I get recast? Like, she literally found out that way. And then it turned out that Bryce Dallas Howard had been originally asked to play Victoria from jump, but she turned it down and then came back. So it was like, whoa. Drama. So yeah, so many good things, y'all. It's fantastic. Thank you for indulging me, Christina. You did an amazing job with that.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Snagajob. Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring.
With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time, or full-time.
You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that.
With their easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way.
Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly.
Visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242-424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
We do want to talk about some of the themes and tropes within this movie, because that's what we do for these movies, obviously. We have the trope of the love triangle, and it's always a werewolf and a vampire. Always.
Yeah, it's the perfect duo.
Is it? Why do they always come together?
They're enemies. There's something there about that. A human, a werewolf, and a vampire.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it's just the one other one. Maybe it's because I've watched that in True Blood and they're always like opposing each other. I don't know. But we have the love triangle, of course, with her loving both of them. But you have the main lead, which is going to always be Robert Pattinson for this. And of course, that whole story of them having the ultimate chemistry. And now, has kind of fallen apart since then, that you have all of that. And then you have people backing whom? Different people backing whom?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. The teams. I would get in fights with people as a teenager about what team you were on. And also just like Edward and Jacob sort of like, I don't know, doing things to make each other jealous. Like there's several moments of that throughout both movies. Like Edward kissing her in front of him. Super passionately on purpose, but also Jacob being shirtless and hot and hugging her and the cuddling scene in the tent and the thoughts he was having that he knew Edward could read and then the kissing he did of her twice and the bracelet thing. You know, she had one arm had a wolf on it and the other had whatever diamond thing that Edward got her.
The giant diamond.
Yeah.
That's how she was like, it's just a pretty stone. Still my favorite, but it's supposed to represent like the ruggedness versus like the very like shiny, unattainable,
right.
Beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So yes, we had that. And again, this is just a small side thing. And I have so many questions, but like with the werewolf versus vampire, the territories and the fact that the werewolves were all like native indigenous people who were protecting their territory as they should. But in my mind, like, this feels real racist. The fact that, like, the native indigenous people are keep being called dogs and smelly and hairy. I'm like, can y'all calm down? Like, I get y'all supposed to hate each other, but y'all starting to get real, like, this could get up.
Wait, I thought about that with the scene where they did, like, the history lesson of the werewolf. And basically, they were colonized by vampires. Like,
right. That's what it looked like to me, too.
Absolutely. Like, the vampires are clearly, like, white people. So, yeah.
who could came taking over their land and their children and killing everybody. That was just a side note that I'm like, I think there's been a little bit of controversy in the way that Stephanie Myers portrayed the characters and making sure they were very flawlessly white and like that was the beauty standard. So everybody was like,
yeah, so pale.
I think you need to backtrack. Yeah. You need to backtrack on that. And then to try and have Laurent, who is the only... At this point, person of color as a vampire, because we'll see more. And by the way, it's also a little bit shady. Like, when it comes to the representation, you're like, wait, what's happening? But anyway, but like, try to, like, you know, this is what this looks like, and still making him look almost caricaturish as a person of color. You're like, but way. Again, that could have been more of the movie decisions rather than the book, but she seemed to be okay with it. Another theme is that whole commitment, marriage, relationships, and about virginity and souls. Like, yes, that whole thing was like, wow.
Edward is
really
so
reflects.
Like religious undertoned, for sure. I mean, virginity is so important to him. And yeah, he just cannot possibly break that one rule, you know?
That's going to save her soul.
Yeah.
Let's protect your virginity. If nothing else, that the murder, not so much.
nothing else.
But he's,
I was laughing
he's,
at that part.
He's like 100 years old. He's so old school. He wanted to ask Charlie for permission. He would have done it different if it was 1901, you know?
The iced tea. I was like, I don't think he was Southern, was he? but like it did make me laugh at all of this level, like who the main character was and why he was so idealized, of course, which is why it translated into 50 Shades of Grey, the dominant, controlling, protective, saving of her virtue, all of these things of like very like male patriarchy, religiously male patriarchy, that you're like, you have an idea of what you think is the standard. And then again, like if you looked at what he did, like if you wrote down the things he did and the way he acted, you'd be like, yeah, this is not healthy. This is very toxic. Is Jacob any better? Because all he is like anger, a ball of anger and constantly blowing up.
Yeah.
But then coming back with the I'm sorry. It's like it's constantly blowing up. I'm sorry, blowing up. I'm sorry. I'm like, none of these things are great for men.
Yes.
Just so we know.
I know. I was thinking a lot about, if you remember Emily, one of the Wolfpack's wives.
Yes.
She has a scar on her face.
Yeah.
Supposedly it was from like an accident from a fight, though, regardless. But it's kind of just like, oh, this thing happened to her. She got scarred horrifically by her husband. So that's interesting. So like either party has their faults when it comes to how they treat women they love.
Right. And also how little they trust them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that essentially you have like Edward the vampire, who's the danger is he's so attracted to her, he's the smell, he'll lose control. And then you have the werewolf, and the danger is he's so protective, it's gonna get angry. But it's all like her causes these things in men that we see all the time. I thought that was really interesting because it's kind of like two. Of like being either you're blamed for being like, oh, you wore a tank top. Oh, no. Or, oh, wow, you said something he didn't like and he got mad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's like interestingly romanticized. And that's a conversation like, yeah. And I think more and more, like as we are enjoying all these things, and again, I liked it a lot. And then you start backing track and like, maybe
it's also like, I felt bad for Bella, but I was like, girl, you're like gonna kill yourself.
Just stay home. It's okay to be sad.
It
just
hurts.
Stay home.
I know it hurts, but we've gotta do something about this.
gotta do something.
Yeah.
You need some like therapy.
You need therapy.
She did need therapy so bad.
Another theme in a trope is, of course, the revenge aspect.
Yes.
We had Victoria coming in, doing everything, and then like having to manipulate other underlings to get her revenge.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like the Jasper story, same type of thing, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and the wolf lore had revenge in their plot as well.
Yes.
That's why.
Is why they don't trust.
Yeah, they got attacked. And the Rosalie story had revenge in it too, which I loved the, you know, her getting revenge and all the men that left her for dead.
Yes. Who murdered her essentially.
Yeah.
And then we of course have the power aspect, with who is more powerful between the wolves and the, like, I can run faster. I can do this. I can get, you know, I can all the back very macho-esque competition.
I do like the power that they show for women, for like Maria and Jasper. Maria, the person who changed Jasper and his lore, she had control over him. And Victoria and Riley, they mirror each other. Victoria had so much power over Riley. And then Jane, the young Jane Dakota Fanning. She had so much power in the Volturi, and everybody was obviously intimidated by her. So I do like that they gave like some women a bunch of power, while Bella had
none. The strength.
Maybe.
Unfortunately, the Volturi heads are all three men.
Yeah.
Very.
Of course.
Weird. Weirdly placed men. One has monotone and wants to die. The other one who does could care less. And the mid one who was really too excited. Yeah. Michael Sheen, you're too excited, bro.
I love the younger man who has like a Justin Bieber haircut. Like that's the hair you're having in your Italy right now.
Hey. Trends. Vampires are not immune to trends, Christina.
Yeah.
It's true. They all have the trends. Of course, we have an introduction of Volturi and the makeup of what's coming. Yes. And Jane and her leadership and her cruelty, as we saw the young new vampire, Bree, which also, I don't know, Christina, did you see? I don't know. Maybe I just got some real, like, getting excited for the movies that I would look them up. But Brie, when she was cast, everybody was super excited and built her up. And even though those who had read the book knew what was coming, was hoping she would have more scenes, and she didn't, poor thing. Mm-hmm. But everybody was really excited when she was cast because she looked so cute. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's no reason.
No reason.
That was. I think she was a Disney star at one point or something.
Right.
So
yeah. And people were really excited to see what she would do with the role. And then again, with the same character who played Leah.
Yeah, I wish Leah got more time too. I don't remember. She may be more in the next.
She is. Yeah. She is in a little bit more of the next. But like her character, everybody was really, really excited about because yeah, there wasn't many. She was the only female woman wolf. That was coming in. And of course, they had to make her look really bitter.
Yeah, she hated Bella, I guess. You know.
Right. She hated Bella. She hated all werewolves because if it wasn't for the vampires, werewolves would not exist. If werewolves did not exist, they would not imprint. And if they did not imprint, she would be marrying Sam, who she was still very much in love with. That was that whole level. So yeah, you kind of understood this for her. And it was Julia Jones, who is actually, I've seen her in several things recently with taking on a lot of Native Indigenous roles, which is awesome. Love to see it. I think she may have been on the newest True Detective.
Oh.
But yeah, so I could be wrong, but Julia Jones actually was bigger. Oh, she was actually in Mandalorian.
Oh.
She was a Mandalorian, I believe. Ooh. I remember being really excited. I was like, she looks super familiar. I believe that's what she was in. People can tell me I'm wrong, but she was a Native Indigenous person coming in pretty strong. And everybody was really excited and hoping to see her in more roles.
This episode is brought to you by Snagajob. Snagajob is where America goes to hire with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring.
With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time, or full-time.
You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that.
With their easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way.
Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly.
Visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242-424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
But yeah, like the portrayal, not glowing for women in these movies. Again, they get a little better. We do see a little more with Bella as the time comes and her decision making and taking on some strengths. Oh, y'all. We also, to end this off, because we do, I think we're wrapping it up. I think, Christina, you're doing an amazing job. I'm so excited that you're here. Did you, you sent us a quiz, a BuzzFeed quiz.
Yes, I did.
About what characters we were.
Yes.
All right. Did Annie, did you take this quiz? You
I
ready
did.
For this? All right. So I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all my result, which, by the way, y'all, if you get a chance to find this BuzzFeed quiz that's titled, which top Twilight character are you? Because the questions are ridiculous.
They're pretty obvious.
And some of them I'm like, if you say you want to drink blood, then I need to re-examine.
You're trying for that.
Yeah.
Also, maybe we should have you on the registry. Human's delicious. That was one of the answers. But yes, I came up to be Charlie Swan.
Whoa.
Oh, that's about right.
That's awesome
about
one.
Right.
I love Charlie.
I'm a cool dude. Just keep being your adorable, oblivious self. Also, your daughter is now, never mind, I'm not going to tell you that part. And you're, yeah, you don't need to know that. I can't tell you that, like giving away to Annie the plot.
I was like,
I need to add that during my obsession with Twilight, my mom was very also into it too. And she would attend all the movie premieres with us. I think she even read all the books.
Amazing.
Like after I was done with them. And she loved Charlie, you know?
Yeah.
I think parents loved Charlie. He was like a selling point.
So like, I think this is what I was thinking, because I'm not going to lie. One of the things that I thought about between this and Harry Potter, the movie, not necessarily the books, I'm not talking about that, but the fact that like the acting, and I think most of the younger, those who have grown up from these franchises will admit this as well, was not great. All of the acting is really, 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 really bad. And a lot of it had to do, even though there weren't children, they were teenagers or older, and you would think it would be better, but it quite wasn't. They quite didn't get there. But the differences between the Harry Potter movie and the Twilight movie is that Harry Potter had caliber, adult, seasoned actors that were at the forefront. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just the kids all around doing things. So you had that level of conversations that came in and like really helped the younger generations with it come to life, as where this one is more focused, Twilight is more focused on the newer, less experienced actors as taking the entire movie. So it doesn't feel as...
Charlie did great.
Well acted.
I forget his name.
But like, well, yeah. You had Charlie. You
I think
had,
he's pretty seasoned. He's a pretty seasoned actor. The
yeah.
Guy that plays Charlie.
He was.
I've seen
yeah.
him in other
and then
stuff.
The people,
I'm like, whoa. Charlie.
He's bad guys and some of the other stuff. I was like, oh, no, not Charlie.
No, not our Charlie, yeah.
Why are you a villain? Elders, those actors are seasoned actors too.
Yeah.
And they were obviously a different caliber too, but you just don't see much of them
yeah.
acting. And so you're like, damn it. Like, just having that kind of level.
I know. We needed more of them for sure, yeah.
Yeah, but having that was a little different to this.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Charlie, apparently I am a curmudgeon that threatens people with guns.
Okay, I can say what I was now. And I'm
yeah,
so happy with my answer. I didn't even try to get, you know, I could have put, I love drinking blood, but I was real about blood. I was real in my answers. And I got Alice,
oh,
who was one of the best. I
nice.
Love Alice so
Alice is
much.
The main character. I think like Ashley Green really tried, but she didn't understand that. Like the first one, she was a little better, actually, like maybe because of the way it's written, that she's just like flighty and just really nonchalant.
Yeah.
And even when she is concerned, it's still nonchalant.
Mm-hmm. She's so important
but yeah,
for the
Alice
story.
Was a good
like
one.
Alice is OP.
Yeah, she is. All right, Annie, what was your answer?
I got Carlisle.
Oh, I love Carlisle. All these answers are amazing. I love Carlisle. He's amazing. Carlisle's one of the best too.
What did it say?
It was funny because you know I haven't like read or seen, so I was like, "Is this good?" But it was like, "You're compassionate and you care about people and you want to protect people." And I was
yeah, like, mindset. I was like the life of the party and stuff, which I don't know about, but. I'll take it either way. I love Alice. I could see it for you.
Whoa.
You as Carlisle and Samantha as Charlie.
Apparently, I'm oblivious. So
oh.
There's that. Okay.
Okay.
That's
we're
a good
crew.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm fine.
And Alice loves
fine.
Charlie. I mean, Charlie loves Alice.
Charlie
like,
loves
they're
Alice.
Friends. They're
Charlie
cool.
loves Alice.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So
yeah.
We can all hang.
So Annie, I will say you're at least like two-thirds of the way in, maybe three-fifths. We'll say three-fifths. It is, because there's five movies. You're three-fifths of the way in. Tell us your review.
They're fun. I've had a good time watching them. I've had a lot of fun moments. I'm excited to get to the end, and then I have some like overarching thoughts I want to discuss.
Okay.
I will admit I've been nervous. I don't know what's going to happen to me when I watch these.
But okay, the question is, what team are you, Annie?
Oh,
I'm team neither. I'm team Switzerland.
She's team Switzerland. Those guys.
I think some people might have been team Bella. I wonder if that might have been a thing too.
See, neither. I think I was team Edward as well, because I love the sulky.
Yeah.
Take care of you, the ideals.
Yeah.
But in the end, I think I was really team Leah and team Seth. I loved Seth and team Leah. And I think it was like towards the end that where I really, really loved them. But I, like, she was annoying for sure. But I feel like, and she was made that way. But I feel like there's absolute reason as to why. And we didn't talk about the fact that there's werewolf pack telepathy. Which they can hear each other's thoughts, even if they don't want it, when they're all wolves. And it's really unfortunate because it's, and then she's in the pack with her ex, who she's still absolutely in love with. So he hears everything, which is, that's a nightmare.
I wish they would let her imprint on somebody. I don't think that ever happens, but like,
they never do.
I have to say, because again, I've read a lot of fan fiction. A lot of this is like very fan fiction-y. I've never heard imprint before. And now, like, I've seen it in fan fiction. Now I'm like, this is where it came from. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
It gets worse too. It gets really sketchy. And you're like, maybe you shouldn't do it that way. Don't do that. Why?
Yeah.
Don't do this.
I do want to clarify my those guys statement, in that I can understand why people are into them.
Yeah.
Like, I've read, liked those things.
Yeah.
So I totally do get it. But my viewpoint at this
stage
point
is
no, it makes sense. I mean, as a tween, I was so team Edward, but yeah, obviously I look at it now, I'm like, Bella should just be on her own.
Maybe you shouldn't do this anymore. Don't do it after it, man.
I do definitely want to come back and talk about like my weirdness of vampire stuff in general, of like you're 18.
Yes.
And so like forever.
Just to kind of that preview of like, this is how imprinting is also like,
yes.
FYI. But okay, anyway, cool. Y'all, this has been a fun journey. I can't wait to finish it out.
Yes. I'm excited. I'm like, because I've heard hints of what happens.
Yes.
So I'm really, really excited. We'll definitely do that soon. Hopefully we can like make a thing of it.
Yes. Christina, you did an amazing job. Thank you so much for hopping on and joining us in this adventure.
I was more than happy. So.
Yes. It was really cool too, because I could just tell you're an editor, because you were like, so they go over here and then they're here. I love it. So thank you so much, Christina.
Yes.
And we'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In the meantime, listeners, oh my gosh, if you have any thoughts about this, opinions, please let us know. You could email us at stephanieatmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok at Stuff I Never Told You. We have a Tee Public store. And we have a book you can get wherever you get your books. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina.
Hi!
Yes!
Thank you!
Yes! Our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey, who we should also invite.
Yeah.
Joey loves Twilight, so.
We should invite for the viewing. Yeah.
Maybe for the next one.
Yes. Some different opinions, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.